Canto 8, entitled Withdrawal of the Cosmic Creations. Chapter 9, entitled The Lord Incarnate as Mohini Murti, recovering text 9 through 11. So I read 9 and 10, and then 11 we read together. There's a purport also in text number 9.
Sri Bhagavan Ubacha Katankasya Padajadha Pumschalyam Majishangata Vishwasham Pandito Jatu Kamini Shujajatihi.
Translation: The Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the form of Mohini, told the demons, "O sons of Kashyapa Muni, I am only a prostitute. How is it that you have so much faith in me? A learned person never puts his faith in a woman." Purport: Chanika Pandit, the great politician and moral instructor, said, "Vishwasho Naiva Kartavya Strishu Raja Kaleshu Cha." Quote: "Never put your faith in a woman or a politician." End of quote. Thus, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was pretending to be a woman, warned the demons against putting so much faith in her, for she had appeared as an attractive woman ultimately to cheat them, indirectly disclosing the purpose for which she has appeared before them. She said to the sons of Kasyapa, "How is this? You were all born of a great rishi, yet you are putting your faith in a woman who is loitering here and there like a prostitute, unprotected by father or husband. Women in general should not be trusted, and what to speak of a woman loitering like a prostitute?" The word Kamini is significant in this connection. Women, especially beautiful young women, invoke the dormant, lusty desires of a man. Therefore, according to Manu Samhita, every woman should be protected, either by her husband, by her father, or by her grown sons. Without such protection, a woman will be exploited. Indeed, women like to be exploited by men. As soon as a woman is exploited by man, she becomes a common prostitute. This is explained by Mohini Murti, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text number 10.
Shalabikranam strinam cha swairininam suradvisha sakyanyahur anityani dudnanudnan bichinvatam.
Translation: All demons, as monkeys, jackals, and dogs are unsteady in their sexual relationships and want newer and newer friends every day, women who live independently seek new friends daily. Friendship with such a woman is never permanent. This is the opinion of learned scholars. Now, text number 11.
Sri Sukha Ubacha Itite Shwelitaistasya Ashwasta Manaso Sura Jahasur Bhava Gambhiram Daduschamritaba Janam Iti te Iti te shvelitaistasya. Aswasta manaso sura. Jahashur bhava gambhiram. Daduschamrita bhajanam. Iti te shvelitaistasya. Aswasta manaso sura. Jahasur bhava gambhiram. Daduschamrita bhajanam.
Sri Sukha Uvacha. Sri Sukadev Goswami said, Iti, thus, te, those demons, Shvelitai, by speaking as if jokingly, Tasyaha, of Mohini Murti, Aswata, grateful with faith. Manasa, their minds. Asuraha, all the demons. Jahashuhu, Lothet. That's how you say? Lothet? Lothet. Baba Gambhiram. Although Mohini Murti was full of gravity, Daduhu, deliver, Cha, also, Amrita Bhajanam, the container of nectar. Sri Sukadev Goswami continue. After the demon hears the word of Mohini Murti, who had spoken as if jokingly, they were all very confident. They laughed with gravity, and ultimately, they delivered the container of nectar into her hands. Purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. The personality of Godhead in His form of Mohini was certainly not joking, but talking seriously, with gravity. The demons, however, being captivated by Mohini Murti's bodily features, took her words as a joke and confidently delivered the container of nectar into her hands. Thus, Mohini Murti resembles Lord Buddha, who appears Sammohaya Suradvisham to cheat the asuras. The word Sudadvisham refers to those who are envious of the demigods or devotees. Sometimes an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead cheats the atheist. Thus, we see here that although Mohinimurti was speaking factually to the Asuras took her words to be facetious. Indeed, they were so confident of Mohinimurti's honesty that they immediately delivered the container of nectar into her hands, and asked if they would allow her to do with the nectar whatever she liked, whether she distributed, threw it away, or drank it herself without giving it to them.
Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Ummilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvashesha Shunyavadi Pashatyade Shatarine Bancha kalpa taruvyascha kripa sinduvyeva cha patitanam pavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo namaha.
We continue the culture, like the fascinating Asuric or Rakshashic culture, the demoniac culture. Just, you know, to have an insight of it. And in the Bhagavad Gita, the demoniac culture is explained by Krishna as, what is that mentality of demoniac culture? Is Ishwaraham Ahambogi. That the demoniac mentality is, I am the supreme enjoyer and the supreme controller. I am controlling and enjoying. So everything that is perceived by this demoniac mentality, the demoniac mentality is whatever we perceive, whatever we come in contact to, is more or less, you know, having the possibility or trying to ascertain the possibilities of being able to control and to enjoy. And everything is being scanned like that. You know, you make calculations. Oh, I cannot control this because there's a strolling control, you know, there's a controller that is stronger than me, but I wonder how I can get to that position to be able. So there's always some consideration of being a controller, being an enjoyer. And obviously, because it's so self-centered, this demoniac mentality, there is always conflict. There is always quarrel, there is always conflict. Because the consequence of this mentality is this character or these qualities that come starting with loss and greed and envy. So these three things, you know, just naturally come out of this mentality. And obviously hate, yes. So we have in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that icha dvesha samutena, that you have desire and hate, you know, these two things. But you know, there's always expansions to these two. So lust, greed, anger, and envy. There's another one, desire or something, I can't remember. But these are considered gates to hell. And they naturally arise by this mentality. The mentality, I'm the controller, I'm the enjoyer. So this type of mentality basically robs people of proper discrimination, and so you lose basically the capacity to discriminate with intelligence. So Krishna also tells that the type of intelligence that is necessary to be progressive in this world is called Vyavyasayatmika Buddhi. It's an intelligence that is single-pointed, that is focused. And with that type of intelligence, one's consciousness is naturally progressive. So, and that type of intelligence is the intelligence that is associated to the perfect system that Krishna has provided for this world. So it fits. It's just part of the whole system. And to be able to function in the type of intelligence, you have to have certain, you have to be situated in that process that Krishna has given us. Basically, you have to be there. There is practices, there is a lifestyle, there is regulations, there's all kinds of things that we have to be able to be part of it. We have to follow in order to be able to have that type of intelligence, the Vyavyasayatmika Buddhi intelligence. The Vyavyasayatmika Buddhi intelligence doesn't happen when we are too attached to opulence and sense gratification. So Bhoga Aishwarya. Again, this word Aishwarya means to try to control, to enjoy. So Bhoga Aishwarya Prashaktanam. How's it go? The rest? Maya Prarit. You remember? Anyone remember? Maya Aprajita Chetasya. Vyavya Shayatmika Buddhi. Not Vidit. How's it go? The end? Samadao na vidiyate, that intelligence, that Vyavyasayatmika Buddhi, does not happen when one is too attached to material opulence and sense gratification. So that's the position. What we're describing here is that mentality. You know, Nityananda Prana was explaining yesterday how these very powerful, qualified people, these are, you know, sons of a great Brahmana. And the type of facilities that they have, the demons too, both demons and demigods, the type of facility that they have is that there's not even a comparison. There's not even by imagination that you can actually get to understand it from the experience of this, you know, earthly realm. Is tremendous. And so, you know, we see in the case of Ravana, the type of opulence that Ravana had was like, I mean, he had a city of pure gold. The whole city was of gold. And he had the most beautiful celestial type of companions, wives, and it is explained that when Hanuman came into looking for Sita into Lanka, and he was, you know, he went into the palace of Ravana, he saw this huge palace, and in he had how do you pronounce in English a harem? Yeah, he have you know hundreds of queens and consorts and this and that, and they were extremely beautiful. And among them there was, you know, the main wife of the main queens of Ravana, and of all the queens there was one that was extremely qualified, the main queen Mandodari, and she was, you know, super qualified, a lady with, you know, great beauty. So having all that opulence, still, you know, you can, the person that Ravana couldn't control himself. So very qualified, very with great facilities, the demoniac person cannot resist or control those qualities: lust, greed, anger, and envy. It just can't control it. If they see something, every time the demoniac mentality, a person who is afflicted by demoniac mentality sees something that is attractive, the immediate thing is, I want to have it. That should be for me. The way Ravana's fall down, although he was, you know, pretty powerful controller, his sister Shapurnaka came and say, because she was very envious of Sita, she came and told Ravana, she should be for you. She's the most beautiful woman, you know, you can ever imagine in this creation, and she's fit for you. And he say, yes, you know, he should be for me. So what is this demoniac mentality? How we're talking about here, Prabhupada, you know, it's a politically sensitive issue, the issue of the position of woman, especially in this Kali Yuga modern, you know, society. And because we're growing in this Kali Yuga completely uncivilized society, sometimes it's difficult for us to understand, you know, these Vedic principles of society. And when you see things that Prabhupada said, that, and then we try to take it, you know, not necessarily in the full context of the Vedic culture, but we take something and try to relate it to our, you know, experience of reality, which is, you know, this Kali Yuga, and it becomes very confusing. You know, the things that are said, that women are less intelligent, or women, you know, Prabhupada say they like to be exploited, or etc., etc., type of things. Within the context of the Vedic culture, then is perfectly understood, because there's other things that are there that clarifies, you know, the position of woman in society. And so how to understand it, you know, how to properly understand it, we have to be very clear from the whole picture. So we know in Vedic culture that the position of woman is worship. Actually, is explained. I mean, there's many verses. I give you some example. I just did a quick search, and this is some of the things that are said on women in Vedic culture. The respect of women in Vedic culture is utmost. In fact, it is explained that you can measure the civility and the moral and the spiritual principles of a society or how much they respect women. So the respect and regard for women is most important. What happens with the demoniac society, with the demoniac mentality, this yuga societies that are afflicted by this demoniac mentality, is that they see women as, you know, basically as objects of sense gratification. They objectify women, and it's all about the whole sexual, basically. And so men sees, you know, tends to see a woman as objects of sense gratification, and then women turn it around too, you know. So the same demoniac mentality is, as is present in man, is also present in woman, because women learn to control men by their feminine attributes, by their, they basically turn around the whole thing. So you want to enjoy me, and you're able, you know, you basically become like Nityananda Prana, you know, very funny, was, you know, saying yesterday, they become idiots, basically, like children. So fully control. So women learn that, learn how to control men by their sexuality. So there is this mutual exploitation. It's like a combination of, you know, and manipulation and exploitation, and it's all based on lust. It's all based on lust. So that's this society, but in Vedic society is the greatest regard. Here's some quotes from some of the Vedic scriptures in terms of, you know, how women should be treated in a Vedic culture. This is from the Manu Samhita, which is the main book of human behavior, the laws of man in this world, this book. Quote, "Women must be honored and adorned by their fathers, brothers, husbands, and brothers-in-law who desire their own welfare. Where women are honored, the gods are pleased. But where they are not honored, no sacred rites yields rewards. When the female relations live in grief, the family soon wholly perish. But that family, where they are not unhappy, ever prospers. The houses on which female relationships not been due, pronounce a perish completely, as if destroyed by magic. Hence, men who seek their own welfare should always honor women on holidays and festivals with gift of ornaments, clothes, and dainty food." This Manu Smriti is another one. This is Grandfather Bhishma explaining to Yudhisthira Maharaj in the Mahabharata. "O ruler of the earth, Yudhisthira, the lineage in which daughters and the daughters-in-law are saddened by ill treatment, that lineage is destroyed. When out of their grief this woman cursed this household, such household lose their charm, prosperity, and happiness." I read one more. Furthermore, in the Vedas, when a woman is invited into the family through marriage, she enters as a river enters the sea, and to rule there alone with her husband as a queen over the other members of the family. This is from the Atharva Veda. Anyway, so it goes on and on and on. So many. So, in Vedic culture, the role of the woman is connected to the divinity of motherhood, and also to the sanctity of religious practices. So it is explained that to maintain religious life, then the woman is the shelter of religious life. So therefore, in Vedic society, there are three most important personalities that are protected and respected: the brahmanas, the cows, and the woman. And the reason is, like, no religious life can be in place without these three personalities. So they're fully protected and respected, properly respected. The word that is used in Sanskrit for wife is patni. And patni means the one who guides the husband. So the husband addresses the woman as patni, as the guide in religious life. So that's the position. So now, how can we understand what Mohini Murti is telling the demons? Mohini Murti is telling the demons that, which is quite something, because the beauty and the enchantment of a beautiful woman that it does to the demon, the one who have the mentality, oh, and I want to enjoy her, is that they completely lose their common sense, intelligence, and the capacity to discern. She's telling them exactly the reality. You are ready to give me the whole thing. How is it that you trust me? I'm a girl that is loitering here and there, like a, you know, she even calls herself a prostitute. The reason she calls herself a prostitute is because she's just independently just going here and there, you know, like, you know, this type of thing, you know. She's telling them, so how is that you're going to trust me with this most valuable thing that you work so hard to obtain, that were calculating, you make this whole thing, the calculation was to get this nectar of immortality, and you're ready to give it to me. You know, I can do anything. I can drink it myself. I can how is it that you trust me with this? Actually, the wise people say that you should not trust someone like this. And the demons, they just, oh, so this is very funny. No, here he is. I mean, she was talking seriously, but they didn't capture. So why? Because The examples that are put here are examples. What is the, which one is the woman that we should not trust? Is a woman that is affected by that same demonic mentality. That is a person who is not following the principles, the Vedic principles of religion, should not be trusted. Being in the woman body or being in the man body, none of them should be trusted. Why? Because the whole thing is ruled by loss, by envy, by greed, by anger. So, you know, it's a selfish, a self-centered approach to everything. So at the end, really, when you scratch it, when you scratch the surface and you go to what the intentions are, there's no such a thing about, you know, trying to do some good for someone else. There's always about myself. I'm always about number one, which is me. So that's a demonic mentality. So there's no trust. There's no trust there. So a woman who have that mentality cannot be trusted. Why? Because they have at the end, you know, they also have no discrimination. What is proper and what is good for themselves and for others. And men that are basically, even powerful men, you know, becomes completely bewildered and stupid just by that. Examples in, so many examples in history, even the biblical, he's actually, The Judeo-Christian societies, they also have a term for this. They call it the Delilah. What was the wife of Samson? The lover of Samson, Delilah, no? The Delilah. How's it called? The Delilah principle. Basically, the story, this biblical story is Samson. Did you say Samson or Samson? In Spanish, it's Samson. Samson. Samson was this powerful personality. His strength was a sort of not human. He was superhuman strength. And he was of the Jewish tribes, from Israel, you know, the tribe from Israel, and they were fighting. He was fighting on his own the armies of the enemies of the Israels. And I can't remember the names of those armies. Philip something. Philistines, yes. So he was able to destroy, you know, on his own, the whole armies of thousands. So the Philistines, you know, they didn't know what to do with this guy. You know, I mean, he was going to destroy them by himself. He was so powerful. He have these superhuman powers. So they came with this strategy that they got this Philistine's woman. Her name was Delilah, who was extremely beautiful, and sent them to seduce Samson. So she was succeeded. So the idea was to find out what is the source of the strength. So she tried this way, she tried that way. He was trying to resist, but at one point he couldn't resist. She was able to charm him, and so he was trustful enough to tell her what was the source of his strength, which was, you know, his hair. So she made the arrangement in one of those that he was, you know, sleeping and so trustful, and the, you know, by this woman, and she cut her hair. And then he lost his powers and he was destroyed, basically, like that. So they call this the Dalila principle. So basically, how great, powerful man become destroyed by the charms of a beautiful woman. And you see it over and over and over. Just recently, there is this big time drug dealer in Mexico. His name was El Chapo Gonzalez, whatever, I can't remember. El Chapo something. The guy was so tricky and so powerful that there was no, even when he was captured, he was able to escape with no problem from, you know, these big jails. He had everybody bought. Anyway, there was no way of getting this guy. How did you get the guy? Well, there was this beautiful actress that apparently, you know, sort of like charmed the guy. He, just by looking at her movies, he was like, just like Nityananda Prana was saying yesterday, you know, drooling like that. So he wanted to meet this woman, and somehow they meet the woman, and then with the, then the police, the intelligence, the CIA, was able to, oh, okay, let's follow this woman, and then we get to the idiot. And then like that, they capture him, you know, just like looking at the woman, and then the police came and captured. So, you know, he was meeting with the woman and he was easily captured. And then, you know, persons like Bill Clinton, I mean, and the funny thing is that, you know, really, just, you know, these are powerful people who are perfectly situated with this, you know, quite, you know, powerful woman, you know, and now she's wants to be the controller too of the whole country. So powerful woman, you know, perfectly arranged and like that, but he can control himself with some little girl, you know, like walking around, and he couldn't control himself. And like that, and then he became the probably some of the historical embarrassment of, you know, the presence in the United States, just to be captured in such a gross way. It was so embarrassing, you know. So, and like that, you know, you can go on and go on and go on, how powerful men become victimized by the charms of a beautiful woman. So they lose every kind of intelligence. And just like the demons right here, they handed everything they had, everything they you know, I mean, they were so powerful that the demigods, they didn't know what to do. Even among themselves, the most powerful demons were fighting for this nectar. Who would take it first? Who will get the most? And here comes a beautiful woman, and they, okay, here, you do whatever. You give it to us. So they trust, you know, they do that. So that's the situation. Lose complete. And on the other hand, you know, we have the woman who understand. I remember knowing people that was like that, that they understood the power that they have on man by their beauty, and they really go into the manipulation program. You know, they get this guy to buy this guy to give that, you know, so it works like that. So you have this horrible Kali Yuga relationships and situations that are terrible, are uncivilized, and are based on exploitation. So in the type of culture that we're trying to learn and we're trying to live our life is based on respect, is based on humility, is based on devotion. And in the spiritual world, there's no such a thing of inequality. In the spiritual world, there's equality. Both man and woman, female and the male form, they're equally serving Krishna and satisfying Krishna. There's no such a thing of, you know, discrimination. They do have different ways in which, you know, they serve and place Krishna. And there's cooperation among themselves. So that's the spiritual world. The spiritual realm is a place in which everyone has a very specific way that you serve Krishna, and there's cooperation among each other because the center is Krishna, not, you know, the individual. So that's how also we want to create an Vaikuntha atmosphere. We have to also see like that. We cannot see, you know, Prabhupada said, you know, these are less intelligence. Prabhupada also said, you know, that if in certain parts, you know, what the Veda says about black people, that they're, you know, there's a race of thieves, like that. That's how you put that into context, you know, and, you know, oh yeah, that means, you know, that's why, that's plain it, you know, that's why, you know, the cops are shooting at the people, you know. This is all things that have to do when we're seeing things from the perspective of this demoniac culture. The Vedic culture is a culture of respect. It's a culture that is not based on a body. Is based, you know, on the potential, spiritual potential that each one of us has to actually serve Krishna. So it's a very harmonious culture. And that's what we're trying to learn. Any comments or questions? No, there's no questions, it's fine. I mean, I was a little afraid of this group of verses, especially because I didn't have much time to prepare either.
I heard that so fortunate to be on our way to the spiritual world, after we leave our body, we get tempted, but like we get see the heavenly planets. I don't know where I've heard that. Like, it's like if you have any desires as you're going up to the spiritual world, if you see the heavenly
planets, for the yogis,
you fall.
For the yogis, because the yogis are doing a little bit of an independent work. You know, they're not being. They're ascending through, you know, their efforts, you know. So the yogi that does the thing and then comes out shooting down, you know, and start to go up, as they go through different planetary systems, you know, they may look as Sarah's doing their ding ding. And if you even go like this, you know, then they get distracted. For the devotees, it's different because you are sort of protected by Lord Chaitanya. So sometimes we see, even we may experience ourselves in we're doing book distribution in Harinam, we see beautiful people, you know. And then, you know, somehow or other, you're like in this bubble. Even if you go like, you know, the holy name just like keeps you, you know, in check. So it's the safest place in the world, Sankirtan, for us. Even if we're still conditioned. That's my experience. Yes, bro.
I don't know where in the Bhagavad Gita, but this goes back to when you were describing like how lust and hate are the two like primary things that everything just expands from. It said something like, with lust, you become attached, and then when you can't have it, you get angry, and then it just, you know, it's a slippery slope from there.
Yeah.
What is that? Like, what's the process of that?
Yeah, that's what Krishna explains. First, you become attached to this. First, you contemplate the object of the senses. You know, you go like, and then, oh, I want it. You become attached to the idea. Oh, what it will be like, you know, I'm sure, you know, I mean, I'm also qualified, you know. So, then you start to lust, and then you realize that you can't enjoy it. Then you become frustrated and anger. When you become angry, you know, then you lose the sense of discrimination, the intelligence. And when you lose intelligence, then your mind becomes completely bewildered. And then you fall into illusion. So that's the trickle down. So loss is the greatest enemy of the world. That's what Krishna says to Arjuna. Arjuna asks, what is it that forces each one of us to do something sinful, even knowing that it's bad? Even knowing that we should not do, we still do, like, you know, you're forced by some irresistible sort of need. And this Krishna says it is lust. And lust is seated, Krishna says the enemy is seated in three places. You know, he gives you the strategic points where enemy is seated: the senses, the mind, and intelligence. So, you know, it's like, it's really rough to defeat, you know. So how do you defeat? He says, end of third chapter, by the sword of knowledge. So transcendent, by the sword of transcendental knowledge. So loss is what forces this whole thing. Loss is the demoniac mentality. The main thing that comes is just loss. That's why, you know, that's why there's mistreat and there's of other people. That's what there is a denigration and objectification of other living entities, not only of women, of other races, animals, you know, all living entities. It's terrible. That mentality is most horrible, most uncivilized. And sadly, we sort of infected a little bit with that. Well, not a little bit, quite a bit. You know, we're product of this culture, most of us. So we have to, that's why we're trying so hard to clean ourselves, you know, purify ourselves from that whole smelly, disgusting, you know, mentality.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Yes, Karuna Prabhu.
Prabhu, do you remember Srila Prabhupada gave a nice example? I forgot that how a moth is attracted to a flower and then flower petals close it, it dies. Similarly, another instance he told, like what else he told, like 3-4 examples he gave for sense of eyes and sense of touch, how they lose their life.
Yeah, I think you mean like, you know, when Prabhupada says the difference, the different creatures that are attracted to different senses, how they, is their, you know, fall?
Yeah.
Like the fish is attracted to, you know, to the taste by the tongue, their finish.
Yes.
And the elephant by the sound, their finish. And like that, some different creatures, you know, they get finished by different senses. Yeah. Yeah, that's our situation. We have somehow or other to try to control ourselves. We learn that by the four regulated principles. You know, bringing our life into the mode of goodness. So creating the environment in which, you know, we can actually practice this devotional service, which strengthens, would help us become Vyavyasayatmika Buddhi, you know, a focus intelligence, one-pointed intelligence, and give up, you know, the Bahushaka Hinantascha, the many-branched, you know, that is fed from all kinds of desires. All right. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.